Spirit of the Lord
spoke to me today about this. I was talking to Chuck last night, and we were talking about what we were going to preach. And I said, well, just be ready. And as soon as we hung the phone up, the Spirit of the Lord, I was in the car, and it just fell on me. He said, you're going to preach tomorrow night on the omniscience of the lampstand. And he goes, and I'm going to impart. I said, well, glory to God. I called Chuck back, and I said, I think we're going to preach on the wisdom of God. More importantly, the whole operation of the omniscience. The lampstand carries the fullness of omniscience. It's the full operation of God's wisdom, His counsel, His understanding, His knowledge. It's what Solomon possessed. It's what we will and are possessing. And there's going to be a direct impartation of the operation of omniscience in this place. I'm going to get in my own line. So if you see me, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to lay hands on my own head. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bible, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. We're just going to pick up this part of the lampstand right here. Despise not the day of small beginnings. He says, for they will rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro the whole earth. Now, these eyes were mentioned in Zechariah chapter 3 first, that upon one stone would be seven eyes. And speaking of Joshua, that these eyes of the Lord that go to and fro the whole earth, you need to understand what he means. There were seven eyes. These seven eyes was the operation of the Holy Spirit. John never referred to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation. He referred to him as the seven spirits of God. Anytime he referred to the Holy Spirit, he never mentioned like Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. He would refer as the seven spirits of God. That's how he described him in the book of Revelations. The seven eyes here is the Holy Spirit's operation. It is half, really, because we see the other half in the book of Revelation. Chapter 5, he says, I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Now, he saw in the previous chapter the entire lampstand. He saw the lampstand in the right hand of God. He said, I saw the seven lamps burning in the right hand of God. He saw this lampstand in the right hand of God that was prophesied to Zechariah. By the time he gets to chapter 5, he's seen the components of the lampstand. He's seen the operations of the Holy Spirit. He called the lampstand the seven spirits of God. So we know he was describing this lampstand that's in Zechariah 4. He's describing it as the seven spirits of God and the operations of the Holy Spirit. But he gives you the specific operations when he saw, I saw seven horns and seven eyes. He's mentioning these seven eyes that were in this lampstand. Hallelujah. These seven eyes are the omniscience of God. Let's say that again. The seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. Or the person of the Holy Spirit, the omniscience of God. The Holy Spirit's remarkable because He's omnipresent, He's omniscient, and He's omnipotent. Hallelujah. And He gives us access to all of it by bringing our spirit under the influence of His omnipresence, under the influence of His omniscience, and under the influence of His omnipotence. Now, when you get under the influence of the omnipotent side of the Holy Spirit, you will take dominion. In situations, automatic dominion takes place. You take dominion wherever you are under that omnipotence. Amen? When you're under the omniscience, you begin to know things way before they happen. You become wise way before your time to be wise. God will make you wise. He'll lead you in the paths of right decisions. Amen. He says in Proverbs 15 this. He said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. These are the seven eyes. Beholding the evil and good. They see all things. Now when God brings your spirit under the influence of the seven spirits of God and the seven eyes of the Lord, you're going to become very wise. You're going to walk by a light, the same light the Lord walked by. And when you get that kind of light operating in your life, and this light is actually an inheritance for the end time bride of Christ that's going to be released corporately. Say corporately. upon the entire body of Christ when the first seal is open and the white horse begins to run. Those seven horns and those seven eyes are not seven horns are going to drop down. It's the operation of the Holy Spirit, the kingly and the priestly. It's going to drop down on the body of Christ, and she's going to do exploits. Can you say exploits? Well, we're going to get some forerunner wisdom, forerunner omniscience. And God will cause you to understand and know things. He'll let you know when the trap's right in front of you. Now, you have to understand something about Zechariah's prophecies. You can go to Haggai chapter 2 for a minute. All of Zechariah's prophecies are spoken for another day. And Zechariah was prophesying to Zerubbabel. All of Zerubbabel's prophecies are for the last days. Because he said he'll bring forth the headstone. Say the headstone. And we talked about it, that's the final stone. The lampstand is the final stone. It's going to be employed to lay the final stone in the church. Church is a building. It's a house of God. Our church laid the foundation stone. We are in the generation that's going to lay the final stone. And guess how God's going to lay it? He's going to use you and me. He's going to use his corporate body to do this. He's going to set it, and that lampstand's going to come out of the right hand of God because he said it was. He said, I saw seven horns and seven eyes, and it went forth into all the earth. He said that in Zechariah 4 about the eyes. He goes, they are the eyes of the Lord that go to and fro all the earth. The whole earth is going to be filled with the omniscience of God. Not the darkness of the earth. Those that are walking in the light, the bridal company, are going to be filled. But because of the light they walk in, it's going to fill the earth with light. Amen. Now, there's another prophecy that we looked at. Now, we looked at this particular prophecy as it pertains to wealth, but I'm going to look at it tonight as it pertains to the glory and to the wisdom. This prophecy also was to Zerubbabel in Haggai chapter 2. And if you look at verse 2, Haggai 2 and 2, it says, speak now to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, and the residue of the people. So he's going to give them a prophecy. Now, this particular prophecy he gives them is about a shaking of the nations. It's a prophecy of wealth transference. And it's a prophecy of a greater glory that was to come. Amen. Verse 7, he goes, I will shake all nations and the treasures of all nations. We've looked at this already in the series as this move that's coming pertains to the wealth of God. There's so much he's saying about wealth transference that's coming. He has a lot to say about it if you know where to look. Amen. Glory to God. I'll shake all nations and the treasures of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Now, he is talking about a time that he's going to fill the house with glory when there is a transference of wealth and the shaking of the nations. There has not been that transference of wealth. That did not take place in the early church, and it was prophesied that it's going to take place in the latter rain. In fact, the goodly war horse of Zechariah 10 is going to implement that operation. Hallelujah. Which is the same white horse of Revelation chapter 6. He goes, I'm going to shake all nations. I'll desire of all nations will come. And I will fill this house. Now notice what he called it, a house with glory. The silver's mine, the gold is mine. He's talking about a very specific time in your ministry. He's actually, remember, Zerubbabel's prophecies were for the latter day reign, the latter day house. So was this prophecy. So when he's talking about this glory, he's talking about a day actually that hasn't happened yet that John foresaw when he caught up in the book of Revelation. Verse 9, he said, the glory of this latter house, say that's us. We're the latter rain church. We're the latter house of God. Hallelujah. There was a former rain. They laid the foundation. We're the latter rain. We're going to set the final stone in. Christ is going to set it, but he's going to use us. Hallelujah. You can say amen. And he said, the glory of this latter day house or this latter house shall be greater than the former house. Now that former house was talking about Solomon's house. And now he's just talking about his house. He's talking about the government that rested upon Solomon. Solomon had a government, a spiritual government in operation like no other government. There was none like Solomon's. He had the operation of the 24-hour priesthood given to him by David. He had the operation of international financial stock exchange in Jerusalem. And the wealth to fund that was given by David. He had the Shekinah glory upon him. And he had the wisdom God gave him wisdom, gave him access to his omniscience like no other man had. There was no other man in the Old Testament that God used to the degree that God used Solomon. And all of that represents the house of Solomon. And he's saying here that he's going to do this again. I'm going to do it again. There's going to be a priesthood arise again. There's going to be another wealth transference. It's not coming on one man. It's coming corporately this time. But you're going to see the glory come back in. It's going to come in the latter times of humanity. It's a latter day reign of glory. And the Shekinah glory is going to return. The wealth transference is going to return where God gives his people, his kings, operations and stewardship of wealth. And he's going to release the operation omniscience of wisdom again. It's all embedded inside the lampstand. It's the operation of God's wisdom. It's the operation of omniscience, and God's going to give it to his bridal company for the last days to do what he's called us to do. That's why we're going to ride victoriously. We're going to ride victoriously because we're going to know things. We're going to understand things. We're going to be able to see what's in front of us. We're going to see what's behind us, what's to the right and to the left. We're going to ride victorious because the enemy is not going to be able to stop us, because we're going to see every design and every plan that he has planned for us. And we're going to just walk right around it. Hallelujah. We're going to get access to God's wisdom and his omniscience to be able to do exploits, not only in the realms of the church, but in the marketplace too. Hallelujah. You're going to walk, you're going to start knowing and understanding and seeing things about people, and you're going to be under the omnipotence of God to just stretch out your hand and say, behold, in the name of Jesus. This is an anointing reserve of the last days. It's like the Holy Ghost is going to get poured out all over again. Why don't you go to chapter 10 for a minute? Now, this will give you a little insight on how Solomon, the operation that was upon Solomon's house, it was actually the government that was upon Solomon. It's a better way to do it. When you see house, it's that spiritual government that was upon him. See, God's going to restore that government. It's sitting inside the lampstand. And he said it's going to be greater. Say greater. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. This is when the Queen of Sheba showed up in his temple, showed up in his house, showed up in his government. I'm going to shift this into the wisdom aspect of this now. But I want you to see the glory around this government that was upon Solomon's house. And the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. She was a very wealthy queen. She brought upwards of about a $60 million offering to him. She brought a huge train of camels and spices. She dropped a lot of gold upon him. In those days, kings brought gifts to kings to procure favor. But she knew, she heard of his fame. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and camels that bear spices and very much gold. This particular operation of gold was a little different because this gold had the glory on it. What God's going to do in this wealth transference, he's not going to give a whole bunch of money to his people in the present condition. You can forget about that. We'll get more of the same. He's going to bring his glory with it, and he's going to bring his wisdom with it. He's not going to bring an operation of wealth transference without his glory and his wisdom and know what to do with it. Because he's going to take the weak things and he's going to confound the wise. But in order to take the weak things to confound the wise, he's got to put an anointing on you. He's not going to leave you weak and unwise. When you're dealing with money, you're going to have wisdom. Amen. And you can eat glory with it too, so it doesn't corrupt you. The only thing that'll keep wealth from corrupting is the glory. See, everything got to be around the glory, amen? Without the glory, there'll be corruption. Very precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. And look at this. There was nothing hid from the king which he told her not. Boy, he had it. He just had it on him. When you start impressing kings and queens of this stature, you've got it. He gave you a little snapshot of what happened with one queen. But the Bible says all the kings of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom and all the peoples of the earth. God had a major salvation machine going, because he said when the strangers come and pray to this house, because God told him, my eyes on your house and my ears attentive to what's being prayed here. So you catch the ear and the eye of God, you've got it. He said, the stranger comes and prays here. Do everything that's in their heart that they may know you, the true and living God. Nobody had done anything like this before. Verse 4, and the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built and the meat of his table. Man, I'd like to see that. And the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and the cupbearers. There was such an harmony on it. She was watching it. And the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. Look at this. The Bible says there was no more spirit in her. She lost it. She hit the ground. The ascent by which Solomon went up into the glory of God. It said the glory, the Shekinah glory, in another part of the scripture just broke out. They saw the visible glory of God. I mean, he had the fullness of it. He had wisdom operating. He had the 24-hour priesthood operating. He had the Shekinah, visible glory, the well transferring. There was nothing God didn't give him. Just had it all. And even Jesus said, I'll tell you, they're greater than Solomon standing here in front of you. And she said to the king, verse 6, it was a true report that I heard my own land, thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Look at this. Look what she bears witness of. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame that I heard. Happy are the men and happy are thy servants that stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. God had a spout open. Amen. Glory to God forever. Now, I want to get into Proverbs now. I want to take you into a little journey with Proverbs. The first thing I want to do is look at two different sevens tonight. One, seven spirits of God in the lampstand. One, seven pillars of wisdom in the lampstand. Seven eyes of the Lord, seven horns, 7 years, seven continents of the earth. Well, we'll stop right there. Now, Isaiah 11:2 gives you direct access to the seven spirits of God. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is the first operation. That's the Spirit of glory. That's the glory. When the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that's the glory. That's one. Spirit of wisdom. Two. Spirit of understanding. Three. Spirit of counsel and might. Four and five. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All seven of those operations were in that lampstand is the seven spirits of God. The lampstand incorporates that. Why? John, he saw the lampstand in chapter 4. And when he looked at the lampstand, it had the seven lamps of God, which are the seven spirits of God. He saw it in the right hand of God. The next chapter, he sees the components as seven horns and seven eyes. In the chapter of that, he sees it getting released into all the earth. By the way, the white horse, this is all coming. You have to understand what Solomon operated in. The kind of mantle is embedded into the lampstand. It's in the foundations of the lampstand. The seven spirits of God were part of his wisdom. It was part of the makeup of his wisdom. Now I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to show you six components of the seven spirits of God. I'm going to show you six of them in about 4 or 5 scriptures. Wisdom's talking about. This is wisdom speaking. Wisdom starts speaking directly in chapter 1. She takes over. Solomon begins and she takes over. She starts writing, especially the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Wisdom personally speaks as first person. Hallelujah. So Proverbs 8:8. It said, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction. This is wisdom directly speaking. And not silver. And knowledge rather than choice gold. So she's saying, receive the spirit of knowledge. I'm here to give it to you. That was one of the components. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now you understand Solomon wrote this book. He understood that everything that he had was given to him by this person of wisdom. And he's describing her components and her attributes. And then she's describing her own components, her own operations. And she's describing in this stretch of scriptures all six of the seven spirits of God. Then I'll show you the seventh one too. Wisdom's better than rubies. And the things that be desired are not to be compared to her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I found out the knowledge of witty inventions. That's innovation. She is going to release a wave of innovation in this last hour that's going to astound the world. There is innovation that's locked up into that white horse. And when that white horse begins to run, that corporate innovation, the witty invention is going to come upon the body of Christ. And ideas and innovation is going to spring forth. We're going to see some amazing things take place. Hallelujah. Verse 13, look at this. And the fear of the Lord. That was one of the aspects of the seven spirits of God, the fear of the Lord. She speaks directly about the fear of the Lord often in the book of Proverbs. Is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy in the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Look at this. What she says, spirit of counsel. Counsel is mine. Spirit of wisdom. There is wisdom right there. I am understanding. I have strength. That's the spirit of might and understanding. That's six of the seven right there. And you want to see the seventh? Proverbs 4:9. She's again speaking in first person. And she says, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace and a crown of what? Glory shall wisdom give to thee. So you see the spirit of glory, spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord all wrapped up into the person of wisdom. All wrapped up into the seven spirits of God. All wrapped up into that lampstand. You cannot put one description on this lampstand because it is a corporate, multifaceted, multi-operational, multi-dimensional, and multi-testimonial operation of heaven. It has three testimonies. And by the time the first and the second testimony shifts, you've gone from the age of grace to the age of wrath and judgment. It shifts and moves through a dispensation. It's a final light given. All I'm trying to do is give you understanding of what I see this to be. What the Word says it is. Amen? And to see the seven spirits of God inside of Solomon's mantle. So the point is, Solomon's mantle is embedded into the seven spirits of God. And the seven spirits of God are embedded in that lampstand. When that lampstand releases, you're going to see the kind of wisdom that Solomon had come upon God's people. It's not going to come on one. It's going to come upon the body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forever. Now, I want to shift gears a minute. This is where we're going to go on a little journey. I want you to go to chapter 7. Now, if you want to know how to meditate the book of Proverbs, chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9 are very interesting chapters. This actually becomes a war of two women. There are two women that get introduced. There's the harlot, and she takes all of chapter 7. And then there's wisdom that takes chapter 8 and half of chapter 9. Now, when you see these two women, you have to understand what's going on here. This is not just chapter 7 where a man's struggling with a harlot. This harlot is actually the woman or the heart of the world system. It is the world system. You need to understand it that way. Amen? If you understand how to meditate this out, you're going to see this. I just want to look at this for a minute because I really want to focus on wisdom tonight. I got to show you that all of this was embedded into Proverbs as part of Solomon's mantle and the way in his relationship with wisdom, because this same relationship is going to be given to the bridal company, you and me. Amen? God is not going to send us out of this earth without his testimony. His bride is going to display the splendor, the majesty, and the glory of her king and the wisdom of her king. Amen? Proverbs 7:4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flatters with her words. For the wind of my house, I look through my casement and behold among the simple ones, I discern among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. There's two houses. You're going to see this in a minute. Her house is in the high places of the city, but wisdom's house is in the highest place of the city. He's not talking about just a woman here. He's talking about the systems of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. He's talking about a spiritual government, a second heaven government. He sees this like this. They met him with a woman of a Tyre of a harlot, subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She'll jump up into your house, especially in this media age. You had to leave the house to get into stuff now, that she'll bring it right up into your house. In the past, you'd have to leave your house and go in a dark corner. Now she'll just come right up inside your house by media. And she'll open every dark corner you want to get in at the press of a fingertip. She abided not in her house. She's stubborn. When you say no, she doesn't take no for an answer, because she wants you. Now in the streets, lying in wait at every corner, she caught him and kissed him. She caught him. She's, look, I've decked my bed with coverings and tapestry. Come, let us take our fill of love, but it's only going to be for one night. So enjoy it for one night. That's it. Until the morning, the good man's coming back. I'm only going to give you it one night. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, and flattering her lips, she forced him. He goeth after straightway. How many? Now, this is not just talking about men being slain by a woman. How many servants of God have fallen to the various things the systems of this world offer? You know how many people that have pursued God's revival don't even know who they are anymore? They don't even know what they represent anymore? You think that's an easy thing? You're bringing something from heaven down to the earth. It must come heaven's way. When you're operating, listen to me, when you're operating with what already is, you can get an anointing and operate in it. But when you're bringing something down that's not in the earth, there's only one way to do that, and that's heaven's way. And God will find the people to get it done. Like Catherine Kuhlman, she caught something out of heaven. She goes, I wasn't God's first choice. I was his fourth choice. She pointed to the men. She goes, one of you must have failed. God will get his purpose done. God is going to sink an earthly people to heavenly plans and heavenly purposes. He's going to do that. He doesn't just drop heaven down until he finds somebody in the earth to work with. Amen? He'll get his people, because he already said it. He said it in the book of Revelation. He's going to get somebody. Because he said the prayers of the saints ascended up, the elders collected them, and it became incense. Somebody on the earth was in tune. Everybody say, get me in tune, Lord. Keep me in tune. Now, so chapter 7, harlot. She comes out in all of chapter 7. She's after this. Wisdom's watching this now. She's watching this. Look at verse 6 again, chapter 7. For at the window of my house, I look through my casement. I'm watching this from the position of my house. She watched the whole thing unfold. She watched the young man disappear to the house of the harlot. She goes, I know everything she's offering you. I know every temptation she's bringing to your door. Now, once you set your understanding, this is not just a harlot going after a man. It's the world system going after your calling. It's the world system going after your promises. You know, if people get neutralized to start with a promise, hot one day, cold the next, forgot a long time ago what God ever said to them. She knows. Wisdom knows. Look at chapter 8. She waits patiently for all of chapter 7, and then she starts talking. Remember I told you to wait for chapter 8? Remember where we were in chapter 8? We just saw the seven spirits of God in chapter 8. Now watch what she's going to do. Said, I know what the harlot's offering you. I know what the world system's offering you. I know there are times that you're going to have to live a crucified life and say no. and follow me when nothing looks like it's ever going to happen. Follow me through brokenness. Follow me through travail. Follow me through storms. Follow me through persecution and affliction. Follow me through the hatred of the brethren. Everyone say, follow me. Day after day after day after day, you got to report. You don't want to report. You have to report. Day after day, you preachers, we got to pick up the mic sometime when we don't want to pick up the mic. To preach to people like, what do you got for me this week? I done heard it all. What you got new for me now? Proverbs 8 verse 1, the Lord does not wisdom cry, Proverbs 8 and 1. Does she not cry also? Is she not wanting your attention? Is she not wanting your loyalty? Is she not wanting your love? Is understanding and put forth her voice? She standeth in the top, say top, of the high places. The harlot sitting in the high places, I'm going to show you that in a minute. I mean, it's a counterfeit of all counterfeits. But wisdom is standing in the top, seated far above, raised together. When God set Christ, he set him far above the principalities and powers of this age. And then he turned around and set us far above. We operate above. We are a heavenly people. We might live on the earth, but we are a heavenly company. We're synced up with what's far above. We're bringing what's far above down into the earth. We are in cooperation with heaven. Because our eyes and our spirit are fixed on what's going on in heaven. You're going to get fixated with the earth, or you're going to get fixated with heaven. If you're going to get fixated with heaven, you better have some. Look around. Multitudes do not come hanging around. Promise. Not until it's fulfilled. Multitudes join after the fulfillment of the promise. Only remnant kind of hang out with amen. So all we got right now is a word. That's all we get to stand on right now is a word. 50,000 people don't come to a word. They come to the word manifested. Once the word starts manifesting, they'll jump on board. I was with you the whole time. Man, you've been on my heart. I'm with you the whole time. I knew you could do it. I knew God was going to do it for you. I knew he was going to come through for you. I knew it. In fact, I prayed for you last week. She's in the top of the high places. She has the seven spirits of God. We've been over that. She said, look, I know what the harlot's offering you, but I have the seven spirits of God. I have counsel and wisdom. I have the spirit of glory and the spirit of wisdom and counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I got all this. And I'm going to give it to you. Verse 6, here I will speak of excellent things. The open in my lips will be right things. She goes, I got witty inventions, verse 12. I got innovation for your generation. Don't get lost in the harlot's house. I got a lot for you. She's bringing innovation. The white horse will bring innovation the world has not seen. And the people of God are going to testify of the wisdom of God. It's not going to be the world's innovation. It's going to come from God's people. But it's coming out of the lampstand. Verse 15, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, nobles even all the judges of the earth. I'm going to give you the ability to rule and to reign and decree justice. Verse 18, riches and honor with me, durable riches. It's one thing to be rich. It's one thing to keep those riches. More people that actually make it to millionaire, multimillionaire status, lose that. They don't have the durable riches because they don't have the wisdom to see. I've seen what the enemy can do in that area. I've seen him take things apart that I thought were God. I lead, verse 20, in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of right decisions, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. He talked about wisdom in creation. He went on to talk about wisdom in creation. He described wisdom in creation in that chapter. I was there when he created the world. I was there when he created the world. She said that. Verse 22, where the Lord possessed me in the beginning in his way before the works of old. Verse 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. You can read it. When he brought forth the seas, I was there. I was there. I was there. I help him. Who created the world? God created the world. Besides God, the Lord created the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him, there was nothing made. He was the creator. Wisdom stood next to his side as the seven spirits of God. Dunamis was there in the creation too. The Father spoke it. The Lord created, but the Holy Spirit's the one that performed it with creative dunamis power. The Holy Spirit was here. Solomon, are you ready for this? Saw wisdom as a woman, and he saw him as a person. And wisdom saying, she's definitely differentiating herself from being the Lord. She says, I was with him when he did this. You mean there's a woman in heaven? Well, yeah, there's a lot of women in heaven. But like, I know I got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but what's up? There's not male or female in the Spirit. These are just attributes by way you can understand a spiritual God. Solomon saw the person of the Holy Spirit as the woman of wisdom. He had a relationship like that. He saw all her attributes as a person because he understood the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. He said, they vex my Holy Spirit. Grieve not my Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's got feelings. He does. He's very sensitive. You got to know when he's here. He comes in power sometime, and you can do anything when there's something. He comes in that holy gentleness like the dove. He's described as a dove. He's got that gentleness and that sensitivity upon him. You got to know when he comes by. You got to catch that flow. Solomon understood. I don't know if I believe that yet. Verse 29, when he gave the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him. Now, this is wisdom speaking. She started speaking first person. I was by him as one brought up with him. She's talking about the Lord, the creator of the earth. And she's saying, I was by him and with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Whose ministry's in the earth? The Holy Spirit's ministry's in the earth. Her wisdom's delight is with the sons of men. He's not a woman up there. There's no male or female. It's just the way Solomon understood the Holy Spirit. Said, I was with him in creation. We were caught up in fellowship, Holy Spirit and the Son in perfect fellowship. Read that again. Look at that. Verse 30. Proverbs 8. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. The Son and the Holy Ghost in perfect communion. They worked quite well together in his earthly ministry. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, my delights were the sons of men. His delights is still with the sons of men. Her delights, his delights. Wisdom's delights, Holy Spirit's delights are with the sons of men. Holy Spirit is in the earth. Now he's going to introduce another aspect of wisdom. Look at chapter 9. He's feeding chapter 7, chapter 8. Now it's all feeding into chapter 9. Wisdom has builded her house, I'm closing, and hewn out her seven pillars. See, she's building a government. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Now, we know James picks up these seven pillars. James 3:17, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Those are seven pillars of wisdom's house. You had seven spirits of God, now you have seven pillars. All this is embedded in the lampstand, by the way. Seven pillars are righteousness, peace, gentleness, humility, mercy, equality, and truth. Now, these verses right here are awesome. I want you to really, 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 really pay attention. I'm going to show you something remarkable. He's going to tie both houses together. Wisdom built her house, hewn out seven pillars. She's killed her beast, she's mingled her wine, she's furnished her table. All that means is she's got a huge banquet table ready for you, and she's giving you an invitation to come and dine. Drink from her table, eat from her table. She's got an open invitation for you. But her table, notice this, verse 3, to pay very close attention to these scriptures right here, because he's going to mention the harlot again. And she's going to compare the harlot to wisdom's, and the harlot is going to imitate wisdom's house verbatim in this chapter right here. But wisdom cannot be imitated. She sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon what? The highest places of the city. What did Proverbs 8:2 said? She standeth at the, now it's very important you hear this, top of the highest places. She's at the top. Amen? Because the harlot's going to say, I sit in the high place of the city. But wisdom's saying, I sit in the highest place. I sit at the top. Verse 4, whoso simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I've mingled. Okay? The harlot's going to give the exact words. She's just not going to offer you the same thing. Same chapter. Verse 13. The foolish woman, one in chapter 7, is clamorous. She's simple. She knoweth nothing. That's what wisdom thinks about her. Verse 14. Let's see where she sits. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible declares the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He rules by second heaven operation. But he does not rule in third heaven. Because wisdom sits in the highest place. But she sits in a high place. Notice her wording. Look at verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Look at verse 16. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she said to him. She's offering the same thing. But she's going to give you something very different. She knows how to speak your lingo. She knows how to speak your words. Verse 5. Come. This is what wisdom says. Eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I have mingled. She says, verse 17. Stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So she sits in the high places. And she said, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither as him one understanding. She said to him, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Wisdom is offering you a banquet table of the third heaven. The harlot's offering you a banquet table of the second heaven. One's going to fulfill an eternal destiny. The other one, you're going to end up in chains and a stalk like a bird that hasteth to a snare. This wisdom, this table that she's made, this table, she's killed her beast, this feast, it's all up in the lampstand right now. Now here she's inviting you up, but God's about to bring it all down. He's going to bring the whole thing to his people for a very short season. God's people are going to ride a victorious war horse in the earth. And they're going to ride one of the principal things that's going to make this work is the wisdom of God. It's the omniscience that's embedded into the lampstand. This lampstand is going to transfer out of heaven into the earth. The Bible says it's going to come into all the earth. The Bible says it's going to release. God is giving every one of us this operation. I believe the Lord is going to impart and release forerunner operations of this, in preparation of what is coming. All of this omniscience, all of this wisdom, seven spirits of God, seven pillars of wisdom, all that is embedded up into the lampstand. All that is imparted. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We acknowledge you as the seven spirits of God. We acknowledge the operation of wisdom. We acknowledge the seven pillars of wisdom. We acknowledge the omniscience of the lampstand. We acknowledge you as the seven horns and the seven eyes. We acknowledge you as the seven spirits of God. We acknowledge you, Holy Spirit, as the person of wisdom. We welcome you in this place tonight. We welcome the glory in this place tonight. We welcome the presence in this place tonight. We welcome you as we have spoken this word. Come upon the wings of this word and fill this place tonight. Fill it up. Fill this place tonight. Fill this place tonight. Fill this place with your glory and your presence. That is, we're going to receive right now. The presence of the Lord in this place, filling every place, filling every place, filling every place, Spirit, filling every place.